Thursday, February 26th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, The Calm Before the Storm.
Pharaoh comes behind with all of his mighty chariots. The children of Israel lift up their eyes, and what do they say? Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. I will avenge speedily. I will deliver you. Don't ever think that your prayers to me that come out day and night, I don't hear. I hear them. I will deliver.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Then another angel, having a golden censer, with a golden censer was given with much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Seven angels are standing there and they're given trumpets. And you know what trumpets signified, didn't they? What was the history of trumpets in the Old Testament? Well, verse 6 tells us they had seven trumpets and they're about ready to sound. You know a lot about this, boys and girls. You know what this means. When Joshua led Israel into the land, what was the first obstacle? What was the first enemy they had to confront? Jericho. And God commanded them. He said, I want you to march around the city one day for 6 days. And I want you to blow the trumpets when you do that. And when you come to the seventh day, you are to circle that city seven times. And on the seventh circle, remember, what are you to do? You are to blow the trumpets, sound the trumpets. And as they did that, everyone shouted and the walls tumbled over of Jericho. The purpose of the trumpets were to sound the alarm. God's coming in judgment. He's coming soon. Get ready, says the Lord. I'm coming. The trumpets were an announcement of that. Announcement of the impending judgment. Joel 2, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Sure, it's very near. Now, I've gone through that. Here's the ultimate goal I have this morning. Here's where I hope it motivates you for what the Lord wants you to be doing. John is seeing what is bringing this about. In other words, why is the Lord stirred up? Why are trumpets ready to blow? Why did everything go silent? What does John see? Another angel comes having a golden censer. He comes and he stands at the altar. Again, all you understand Revelation by its use of all the language of the Old Testament. It's all put together. And if you remember the tabernacle structure, the altar was put right before the door to the entrance to the most holy place. Its incense would burn and it would fill with smoke the most holy place. And remember, into the curtains, we'll get to this when we get to Exodus, are woven cherubim all around. It was a mini replica of the throne room in heaven. And there were all the cherubim woven in and this altar of incense, and the priests would come in and they would burn and it would flow right on into the throne room. Well, what is that? The smoke are your prayers. What is the Lord showing us here? The angel takes a censer full of incense and he mixes the prayers of the saints with the incense and it all ascends into the throne room. What just happened? All of your prayers, imperfect as they are here, of course, pictured as being receiving intercession, being incensed, if you will. And that smoke, those prayers, are going right on up into the nostrils of your Lord, if you will. And the Scriptures use that language. It enters. He smells it. He hears it. He receives it. What is the Lord showing you? He's showing you the most encouraging thing you could ever be encouraged with in your struggle. Let me tell you what it is. Every single prayer, every single cry of His saint on the earth, of His elect, that happens from His people in the struggle, in the fight, all the sighs that go on, all of the groanings that go on in your hearts over the abominations that are happening on the earth, all of the hurt, all of the injustices, all of the evil that you recoil at, all those sad things that we see, all the martyrs, all the hatred, all the rivers that flow from your eyes because people hate God's law. When you cry out to Him, He hears it. The cries of 70 million martyrs since the day Jesus went up into heaven. That's how many are collected right now. 70 million martyrs. 70 million people who have been put out by these tares in our midst. I receive it. I'm hearing it. All of the prayers of the saints are pictured, are represented here as entering into the throne room. I know intimately your cries, He's saying. I hear them. I know your sufferings. I know your sorrows. I know your pains. Dear children, I hear. I see. And I want you to know something. The silence that you're experiencing on earth, all of that is preparation for me to come. The feeling that I'm not hearing, the feeling that your prayers don't get past the roof, the struggle that you feel that I'm absent, it's not true. Isn't that awesome? I hear you when you pray to me. It comes right up on in to my throne. You, individually. Think of the Exodus. 400 years God's people cried out. You think they ever felt that God had abandoned them? You think they ever felt that God had given up on them? You think in all of their toil when they were hurting and in pain and in struggle and they just kept inflicting more pain on them and their children, that they felt like giving up hope? And yet you come to Exodus, which we're about ready to go through. God tells Moses, I have heard. I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel. First thing He says to Moses, I've heard it. Whom the Egyptians hold in bondage. And I've remembered my covenant. It's the covenant of grace. So God heard their groaning. God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. As soon as that happens, so here's what we have. Everything went silent, all the worship going on, silence, smoke goes up. As soon as God received the prayers, this is where it gets really exciting. What does He do? Verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightnings, and an earthquake. In the very place where your prayers were heard and received, He takes that censer and He fills it with fire from the altar. Remember, God in His holiness is surrounded by fire. He's on fire. That's what the burning bush told you. So that even the angels, when they're in heaven, and you remember Isaiah 6 in the description, when their wings, they have these three sets of wings. 3, to form a firewall around the throne so no one can see God, because if any of that glory got out, he would consume everything outside of it. The angels are pictured as forming a firewall around the throne. They have to cover their own faces and their own feet. Fire. He's on fire. In the very place where your prayers made it up in there, God just told you he heard them, and then he answered. And he answered by taking fire and right back down on the earth. That's the imagery. You ever thought of it that way? God's not transforming the world. God's judging it. Think of the first century. There's this powerful Roman Empire, and they're persecuting them, and you've got emperors claiming to be God, and here they don't know what to do. Roman society is facing all kinds of problems, and all of a sudden now, in Rome, they're starting to break down already. What's going on? Scandals in the Senate. Monetary issues are starting to plague Rome. Their empire is starting to crumble already. Barbarians would sack it one day. And the Lord wanted Christians to know that all the problems that they're experiencing on earth, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places, all the mess is the result of fire coming back down on the earth. From your prayers. He gets angry. And he fires back. And this is not just the world. If you've ever struggled with the state of the church, if you've ever wondered, you know, what in the world is going on? Well, if you have tares causing a lot of problems among the wheat, and they're prevailing, judgment begins in the house of God. And if it begins here, it goes there. That's why the state of things are the way that they are. You have to look at this differently. We've got to reframe our thinking differently about what's going on right now. This is Psalm 18. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him. Notice, I'm praying, and he heard it. It came up to his ears, Psalm 18. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils. I think that's your prayers, by the way. Devouring fire from his mouth, coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe. Lightnings in abundance. And he vanquished them. And then he picked me up. And he drew me out of those waters. The Lord reigns. And is delivering us, his people. And Revelation follows all this up by saying that there were these noises and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. These were the storm theophanies of God coming in judgment on this wicked world. That's the imagery here. And that's the perspective Revelation wants to give us through our struggle. Listen, God is calling us to see economic woe that we're experiencing. Dangers of worldwide turmoil. The present distresses are answers to your prayers. Jesus said this much in Matthew 24. Famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. I want you to consider all of these like birth pains. You know what birth pains are like. They're hard. They hurt. Well, I don't know what they're like, but women know what they're like. They hurt. And that's his jealousy for his people. Do you ever notice how the kingdoms of the world, and the U.S. has been the most guilty of this, has done nothing but trying to build an everlasting kingdom? Of what? Peace and prosperity. And they can't do it. I mean, it's just one thing after another, and they just can't accomplish it. And no king ever throughout history has ever remained on the throne very long. They just keep getting toppled over and over. If you ever were to study the Roman emperors, these guys got toppled over left and right. No one ever stood because Jesus was judging kingdoms. And thousands and thousands of years of church history have told us of nothing but struggle in the kingdoms of this world. And they've shown you kingdoms toppled and kings toppled over. No one ever will ultimately last forever. And these are your answers. This is God preparing things for the ultimate judgment when the true king comes and the white throne is set in place. Now that message is hard for us if we're too tied to hear. I understand that. It's hard for us, you know, it's hard. It's not hard for a martyred people, but it's hard for us right now because we've been in this wonderful place of prosperity and blessing, which comes from Him. It's all from Him. But as you see it stripped away, you begin to struggle, and it becomes a hard pill to swallow. But if we realize He is the one building us a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and that's not the United States, and you've come to grips with that, and you've accepted that, it's a welcomed message. This is the most exciting news that the Lord has announced. And He wants you to know that He's protecting you. And the wickedness we see on the earth, He wants you to know it's under His judgment. And He's beginning to punish. All He has to do is pull up the restraint. What you've all enjoyed is a time of real restraint. And if He pulls it up, He pulls it up. If He puts the restraint back on and we have another time of real peace and prosperity, wonderful. But He's hearing your cries. And we need to remember that Revelation 8, it just assaults a post-millennial view. It assaults a certain view that He's going to, we'll get into other issues later. Here's what He's after. Moses, you tell those Egyptians, let my people go. That's what He's after. And the plagues that preceded that, remember all those, or the plagues that would then follow that, remember all those plagues on Egypt? That's what the rest of Revelation 8 is here describing, these plague-like judgments that fell on the world of that time, the most powerful empire of the world at that time, Pharaoh's kingdom. He plagued it and He judged it. And there was God's people where? In Goshen. Not one of them was lost. Not one of them was lost. He protected them. He loved them. He cared for them. He heard their cries. He had planned to deliver them. He was getting off the throne and about ready to come down Himself and put a canopy around them and pass them through, even though Pharaoh would come after him. Look, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? Well, you're martyred. And then Jesus gets up. And you get to go to be with Him. So why do you fear? That kind of perspective gives us a lot of hope and the greatest amount of encouragement not to lose heart. And always pray. I close with this. You now understand why Jesus said men ought always to pray and not lose heart. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a little widow in that city. She came to Him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And He would not for a while. This is not a nice man. Not a good leader. But afterward He said within himself, though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming to me she wearies me. And the Lord said, did you hear what the unjust judge did? He did it only because He was getting bothered by her continuing to come. And shall not God avenge His own elect, who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? Won't He do that for you? When you cry out, but He's bearing long, He's letting the bud grow, He's letting you flourish, I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. You're not bothering Him when you talk to Him. You're not making his heart burdened by troubling him. In other words, by just continuing to weary him. No. Come to me, he says. I'll receive your prayers. Talk to me. I'll act. I tell you, he'll avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? That's a challenge. It's not going to be good before he comes. What a reason for you to pray and not lose heart. Don't be shocked at what happens to the sad world, beloved. Your history tells you that. God's always saved his people. God's always delivered his people. He's never lost one of them. And people have been through some pretty bad things throughout history. Think about how it all ended after God plagued the Egyptians. They get to the sea. Pharaoh comes behind with all of his mighty chariots. The children of Israel lift up their eyes. And what do they say? Behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. You don't have to do anything in this fight. I'll save you from all this stuff. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Let my people go. And he pulled them out with a strong arm and a mighty hand. We need to long for that. And when we do, your prayers are going to be a little bit more transformed to say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. I will avenge speedily. I will deliver you. Don't ever think that your prayers to me that come out day and night, I don't hear. I hear them. I will deliver you. Let's pray. What a treasure it is to pray to you, Lord. And to think that right now, all the angels in heaven that sing, holy, 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 who have an interest in your salvation of your people here on earth, who are amazed that you're even doing this, go silent when they see you aroused in holy jealousy to deliver your people. We need this perspective. And it encourages us to pray because we've been so negligent in this duty. We pray that you would save us. We pray that you would deliver us and our children. We pray that you would give us faith. We ask and pray today for a martyred church around the world, that you would arise out of your holy habitation and save all of your people. And in all the injustices of this world and all the sad things that are happening, and all the hatred of you, that you would act. We also know that in asking that, it means that a day is coming where we will see this sad world and the people in it no longer forever. And so we pray that while we still have to endure all of these things, that you would continue to save. That's why we're here. That you would bear long with your elect. That you'd bring them all in. And that you would encourage us to always pray and to not lose heart. Thank you for hearing us and delivering your people. In Jesus' name we pray.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.